Okay. So somehow we feel if we aren't attached to the friends, then we won't be as close and involved with them. We'll be disengaged in some way. Actually, what we're getting at here is the attitude of attachment. We want to let go of the attitude of attachment. But being attached to somebody is very different than feeling close or appreciating or feeling grateful to them. So we can still feel close to some people, still feel grateful to them, but the attachment has the special quality of we're exaggerating their good qualities and then clinging. So attachment has this quality of, you know, I need to be with this person, I want to be with this person, I've got to possess this person, they're mine. You know, like all the love songs, I can't live without you. Yeah. So that's the quality of attachment. So by freeing the mind of that clinging, it doesn't mean you disengage from the person. It rather means that the mind is much more balanced, I think. So that we can still feel close to that person, but we can also recognize that they have some faults and that they may not always be there when we want them to be. Not because they mean any harm, but because that's the nature of life. That they may not fulfill all our expectations. And that, again, isn't because they're obnoxious or they're harmful, but that's just because of the nature of things. And so we let go of the expectations and the clinging, but we can still feel involved and engaged. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, continually changing. The relationships continually change. So holding on to anybody at any particular time or pushing anybody away with aversion at any particular time, both of those are really unrealistic. As you can see, automatically they change. So what we're really hammering away here is our pre-assumption, our assumption that we know who somebody else is. And we know who they are and how they're always going to relate to us. And we can bank our nickels on that. And we realize that that's totally false. We don't know. Right. One reason is because we're only looking at it from the view of our very narrow self and how they relate to me. And second of all, we're only looking at it to how this relationship is right now at this very moment, not recognizing all the past in previous lives, how that person's been so kind to us in the past, and also sometimes they've harmed us. And also realizing in the future it could be the same. So this meditation, I think, is quite powerful at breaking down a lot of our preconceptions. And a lot of our very rigid mind that thinks we know who somebody else is. And the mind likes to put people in nice, neat little categories and decide who we're going to hate for as long as we live because we know who they are. There's a lot of this, isn't there? See, I always like to tell the story of my own family. I just remember as a kid that there were... on one side of the family, a bunch of the relatives, they had a summer property where everybody went for the summer. But one side of the family didn't speak to the other side of the family. So here they have their summer houses. One's living upstairs, the other one's living downstairs. They don't talk to each other on summer vacation. Yeah. And that was when I was a kid. Now, my generation is older. Now, not only the adults don't speak to each other, but some of the kids don't speak to each other. I mean, you know, it's like people take these incredible, you talk about taking vows, you know, I vow I will hate you as long as I live. And families keep these kind of vows. It's so outrageous. It's such a tragedy. I mean, you look at what's going on in Bosnia and Herzegovina, it's the same thing. People taking precepts to hate each other and destroy each other because they think they know who somebody else is because of the way their ancestors have acted towards each other. Yeah. Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, all this thing of feeling like we can put people in boxes and we know who our permanent friends are and our permanent enemies are. And you just look at the world political situation. You know, Soviet Union, when we were kids growing up, was now this incredible enemy. Now, you know, pouring money into them. It's great. Yeah? And you look politically. There's no security in any of this. Friends and enemies change all the time. Look at U.S. foreign policy with Iraq and Iran. 1 year friend, 1 year enemy, next year friend, next year enemy. Yeah. So what we're getting at is just this attachment and aversion and how unrealistic it is. So what this meditation is directing us towards is a feeling of equanimity amongst others. And equanimity doesn't mean indifference. There's a big difference between equanimity and indifference, okay? Indifference is you're disengaged, you're uninvolved, you don't care, you're withdrawn, okay? That's not what equanimity is. Equanimity is you're open, you're receptive, but equally to everybody. So the mind's free of partiality and prejudice, okay? So the equanimous mind is a mind that is involved with others in a very open-hearted way. And that's what we're aiming at by freeing ourselves from the clinging attachment, the aversion, and the apathy. And that would be a nice state of mind to have, wouldn't it? Or everybody you saw, you can have some kind of equal-hearted openness towards them, instead of feeling fear or suspicion or need or something else. So this meditation is actually quite powerful. It's something we can do again and again and again and again. And each time you do it and you use different examples, you really begin to see how the mind works. This doesn't, you know, what we're aiming at is a mind that's equal and impartial towards others. That doesn't necessarily mean we act the same way towards everybody. Because obviously you have to treat a child differently than you treat an adult. So having an equal internal attitude doesn't mean that externally our behavior is the same with everybody. Because we have to treat people according to social convention, according to what's appropriate. So you speak one way to a child, another way to an adult, another way to, you know, an older person. So we treat people in different ways. You might speak one way to a boss and another way to a colleague. But inside, in your mind, you have equal feeling towards all of them, a heart of equal openness towards all of them, even though externally our behavior might be somewhat different. Okay? In the same way, if there's a dog who's wagging his tail and there's a dog who's growling, you treat them differently. But that doesn't mean in your heart that you have to, you know, be attached to one and hate the other. We can still have an equal feeling towards all of them, recognizing that both the dogs are living beings who want happiness and you know, share common qualities. And we can recognize that on the internal level and yet externally deal with the dogs as appropriate. Okay? And same with human beings. So we're looking at an internal change in our perception here. So you can still have friends. Okay, we're not saying get rid of friends, get rid of relatives. No. Move out, go home tonight, pack up, say, look, I'm supposed to be equal, so this is it. Yeah, we're not saying that. Yeah. You still have people that maybe you're in closer contact with or that you have more common interests with. There's no problem with that. It's the attachment that makes the problem. That's what we're trying to work with. Okay, why don't we sit quietly for a few minutes? Absorb this.